Welcome to the Courageous Overcomers Podcast. I'm your host, Courage Molina. So excited to have you back here with me. If this is your first time, welcome. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any of the new episodes as they are dropped. Listen, today's episode is going to be amazing. My guest today is a wife, mom, and niche coach. She helps coaches decide on a niche so they can walk boldly in their purposes as life coaches. She's passionate about helping other women to be who God has called them to be. So y'all know I love that. And when she's not doing that, she's enjoying spending time with family and friends, laughing and being silly, reading and eating Chick-fil-A. Curl after my own heart. Y'all help me welcome my special guest today, Gabrielle Smith. Let's get into it. I'm so glad that you said yes. Okay, so let's get into this. So what in your mind for your life is your greatest flex? Somebody thinks your greatest flex is like your business, that you do this, that you travel, that you've done all these things because it's the thing that they want to do. But you living your life, if you had to pick one like for you, for your values, what would you say like this is my greatest flex is actually this?
Huh. So I kind of have two a little bit, right? So one being my greatest flex is that like I connect with people. I think that is a genuine gift that I have that I'm able to build and maintain relationships with people just in an organic, genuine way because I care about it's the human factor for me. Mm-hmm. I'm able to see the good in people and I, you know, am able to focus on that. And so that is one of my big flexes. And then the other one I would say is the fact that I found my purpose, the fact that I went through the journey of not knowing it and the fire of like just being so miserable, so lost, so just unfulfilled and unhappy. And then getting to this side of it where, you know, where God revealed to me what it was and like just like going full force in it and haven't looked back. So that's the other part.
No, I love those two things. And they actually go hand in hand because whatever our purpose is, regardless of who you are, it is absolutely not one that you've been meant to do on your own. Whatever it is God has called you to do, created you to do, anointed you to do, wherever that is, requires that you have relationship with other people. And even if you know what your purpose is, if the rest of your relationships are trash with your family, with whatever, it has a huge impact on your ability to actually pursue that purpose. So it's such a beautiful connection that your flex is like, I have genuine relationships and I found my purpose. Like, I absolutely love that. Now, you kind of make mention of feeling unfulfilled and just like, this ain't it, hating my job, like that type of thing. All of those things. Tell me about that journey. How did you get from that place to finding your purpose?
Okay, let's see. Long story. How do we condense this a little bit? So I started out as a software engineer. So that's my background. And I did that for about 20 years. And I don't know, maybe the last 5 to 10 years, I hit this place where I'm like, this ain't it. This ain't it. I feel like I should be doing more. I feel like something is missing. I feel like I'm not using my gifts in the way that God has meant for me to be using them. And so, but I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know what I knew that software engineering space wasn't it, but I didn't know what was it. So I set out on this journey to figure out what it was. And so I started, of course, doing what everybody else does, you know, researching the internet and the Googles and looking for everything else to give me the answers. I started like doing those quizzes, the personality quizzes and the strengths and all that jazz to try and figure it out. I was asking people around me. I tried a whole bunch of things, but ultimately, like deep inside, I already knew. So like even thinking back on it, I realized that if I had been real with myself early on, like college and deciding on a major, I would have done like psychology or something like that, because that's genuinely where my interest was. But because at that time I'm focused on money, I'm like, okay, so what major do I need to make the most money when I get out of school? And so that's where I went with the engineering route, because I'm just like, well, I can make money right out of school and it'll be fine, until it ain't and until it wasn't. So so then, yeah, once I figured out that's not what I wanted to do, I set out to find my purpose. And so started doing research, talking to people, not really getting the answers I want. But I ended up going to this seminar or conference or something. And it's where I first heard that your thoughts create your feelings. And so I was just like, what is happening? And so that kind of opened up for me. And, you know, just like just really digging into the thoughts part of it and the results part of it, and looking and thinking about how that aligned with what I believed, what the Bible talks about and things like that. And I'm just like, whoa, like that might be something. So from there, I started digging into becoming some type of leader or something like that. See, still at that point, I had not heard of life coaching or anything like mm-hmm. that. And I ended up running across a podcast where she talked about being a life coach and how you help people. You end up making the impact you want in the world and you make money doing it. And I was like, what? So then I was, you know, got more information for that, signed up for the certification and got certified and have not looked back. So that's it in a nutshell.
First of all, I absolutely love it. I want y'all to like, I hope that they hear this is a pursuit. It's a pursuit to discover your purpose. Mm-hmm. It's not this thing for everybody where they just wake up. And that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe somebody does. But for most people, it's not a thing where you just wake up and you're like, oh, this is what I was created to do. Because for most of us, things are ingrained in us, the things that we're supposed to do. So we go to school. The school is not asking you. I've never been asked at any educational level, Courage, what do you think God created you for?
Yes.
What do you believe your purpose is? It is like, what are you going to do? What do you want to be when you grow up? And that, even though it's not said at a young age, it's always tied to making a living. How are you going to eat? And even more so for Black and Brown people in America, you need a good job.
Good job.
Good, baby. Good job with benefits. So I hope your purpose is in alignment with a good job and benefits, because if it's not, baby, that's not your purpose. That's cute, but you need to do something. You need to get a real job. That's another thing too. You need to get a real job. And so that's just where our mind goes. We get to college and we are looking for a job that's going to check off those boxes or allow us to check off those boxes, so nobody's thinking about that. I hope that, you know, people are really getting, it's a pursuit. You don't know what your purpose is. How much looking have you done? Is it something that you've just been thinking about? Oh my gosh, I don't know what my purpose is. I find sometimes I'm thinking about a problem I need to find a solution to and not actually looking for a solution. Yeah. I'm just thinking about how much so I lie to myself a little bit, right? Like, well, I've been thinking about it. You kind of have been thinking about it, but not in a way that's going to lead to, not in a way that's going to lead to a solution. You know, I've been thinking about it for weeks. Okay, well, did you, especially in this day and age, did you put it in Google? That's what I just, did you, and maybe Google's not going to give you an answer, but where have you looked? Have you told people? Have you asked someone else? Hey, you seem to have found your purpose. How did you get here? Slide into a DM. Hey, you seem to really be living out, you know, living your best life. How did you get there? It's not something that's just going to fall. So I love that you talked about all the ways that didn't work too. I want y'all to hear some of that didn't work. You did a lot of searching and you were like, I still don't know. Okay, I'm looking. I'm going to do this test. This is still not the answer. But it was something that you were exposed to. And I think that when we continue to look, we find.
Yes.
If we stop looking, we can't find it, even if it's right in front of us.
Yeah.
But if we continue to look, we open ourselves up to finding it so that when it does cross our path via a podcast, social media post, YouTube video, it grabs our attention because it's the thing that we have been searching for. We haven't just been hoping we're going to fall upon it. So I absolutely love that you are an active participant because we have to be when it comes to this thing with purpose. In Christian circles, and I say this all the time, I love the Lord. Praise God, I love God. Okay. He's just not doing all the work. That's the thing. This is meant to be a partnership. It's meant to be a relationship where we are working together. He's going to do the heavy lifting, but he also wants you to lift your end. He's going to do the making of the way, but he also wants you to follow the way. He wants you to walk in this thing. And so it requires our participation. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, like he wants us to move, and that's the thing. And so what I didn't include in that story is that I tried several things before I got here. So let me just add that in. I mean, I was fashion blogging. I was trying to do an online store. I was doing reselling. I tried a lot of things, and I would try it, and I was like, "Ooh, maybe this is it." You know, I try things, and then I'd be like, that ain't it, not it. Next, and I would try things, and so there's periods of disappointment, of like failure, of all kinds of like letdowns in the process before I got there. But it's just like it's like you said, I was seeking. I was on a journey to figure it out, and so I just kept going until I got there.
Once you figured out what your purpose was there any resistance, right? Like once you got to that place, because you said you tried all these things, what happened? What was it like, or what were the steps that you took after that? Okay, now I know what my purpose is, or I think I know what my purpose is. What was that process and that season like?
Oh my goodness. So it was, the biggest thing was the money, right? To fund my certification. And so I had to work through that, pray about that, and got the money. And then the other piece of it was I get in the certification and I have to coach in front of people. And let me just rewind. I had not been a front street type person. I'm always behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I was the person who would post outfits on Instagram without my face. So I do it at an angle so you can't see my face. So I had to work through all of that. I had to work through all of that. So like being visible, being seen, being heard, all of the things that have been challenges my entire life for me. And the biggest one being the fear of failure. I had to get through the fear of failure, because before, just like I would be behind the scenes, if I didn't know, like with everything in me, like 1,000% that I was going to win, I wasn't going to do it. Like I just was not going to do it. And so I didn't take risk. I didn't risk failure. I didn't any of that stuff. So I had to learn how to fail, and I had to learn how to be willing to fail. I think that's, you know, those were the biggest things that I had to overcome in order to get there. Cause even it started with the certification, but then after certification, starting my business, putting myself out there, you know, asking people to work with me, like rejection, all of those things. So those were pretty much like the big things that I had to overcome.
Let me ask you this. Prior to like this situation, being an entrepreneur and all that, coming up in school and going to college, did you experience a lot of failure, like academically? Did you
struggle? No.
I knew it when you told me. I knew this because I 100% get you. you didn't have a lot of experience with failing.
No.
And then you got to this big age, whatever that age was, you got to this big age.
Yeah.
And now you're going to try something new. I think that people miss that so much. I am like you. I did not struggle in school. I did not have any failures. I don't even know what you're talking about. But I also, the only thing that was in front of me, right, it's just academics. And so I do that well. But there are lots of things that I don't do well, but that wasn't a requirement in school. So I never even had those experiences, and I wasn't interested in any of those experiences. Once I got to a big age, it was like, it was the first time, like, oh, I'm 100% sure I can kill this class. I don't care what we talk, like, I know, I need to do what? I need to study for this test? Like, girl, bye, I'm a pet, like, somebody give me what I need. I'm gonna get this done. I don't care what the pass rate is.
Yes.
I got this, right?
Yeah.
But when you come over here, on this purpose side, with all this uncertainty
and no guidelines and no rule book.
If you can tell me, and I used to say that, if you could tell me exactly what to do, I told the Lord, just crying.
Yes.
If you give me a roadmap, I will do it.
Yes.
I will get in the mud. I will eat the frog. I'm like, whatever you to just give me the roadmap. Okay. Tell me how long it's going to take me, how long it needs to, how much time I need to set aside to get to the end of this rainbow. I know I need 4 years for college. I know that I have to do X, Y, Z. So I got a time frame. So I don't expect for me to get a degree in 2 days so I can keep doing it. This, it's like he took everything, everything that gave us comfort, that gave me a sense of stability. He was like, nah, let me take that. We're going to throw that out.
Yeah. And even in our careers too, right? Like there's a process. I mean, you do this, 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 and this, you get promoted, you do this, 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 and this, you do well, like, you know exactly what to do to succeed at the job. And it's exactly what you said. When we embark upon this ordeal, God be like, yeah, there you go. Figure it out.
We don't know what that's like. We don't know. We imagine it to be the worst thing in the world to give something our all and then it not pan out.
Yeah.
I used to be like, I cannot think of a time where I've given something 100%, an actual 100%, and I didn't make it. I don't know that. But I also was very selective. It's not because I'm great at everything. It's because I'm mad selective about what I'm going to try. I'm not trying that. I've already assessed the probability of my success, and it's just not high enough.
Yes, so, that could potentially risk my success rate that I have going on right now. If you're going to mess with my success rate, how about no thanks?
The fear of failure is so... Yeah. Real. And I think people are surprised to see it with high achieving individuals. You've had such great achievement and people can look at you from the outside, but look at all these things that you overcame. You're just so courageous. You're so brave. You're so smart. And you're like, yeah, I get that. It looks that way from you on the outside, but it's really my selection process. And while people might be cheering you on, you're going to be able to do it. It is so much fear you feel in your mind. It can be debilitating. It can keep you from moving.
Yes.
You talk yourself like, first of all, this is irresponsible. I want to listen. I want to be responsible and investing this amount of time and or money for that without a guarantee on my return of investment.
That
seems irresponsible. And I don't want to be a fool. We can talk and reason ourselves. I have reasoned myself like, but I want to be responsible. This is not good fiscal behavior. So I'm going to go over here instead and do this. We can talk ourselves because we are high achievers and we are sophisticated. So we know what it is. But how did you get to a place where you were like, oh, I feel like I got to throw up a little bit, but I'm still going to do it. How did you get there? How did you do it? Because you're here now.
Yeah. Well, it's my why. It's my why. Because I still do it, right? Like, I still do it. I'll still say yes, and then I get off the phone or whatever. I'm like, you know, calling my coach like, oh God, I just said yes to this thing and I don't know, you know, all of that. So it's my why, it's my purpose. My purpose and my desire to live in my purpose is stronger than my desire to stay comfortable. That's just all it boils down to.
Say that one more time. What is your why? Say it one more time.
My desire, my calling, my drive to fulfill my purpose, to live in my purpose, to walk in my purpose is so much stronger than my desire to stay comfortable.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
That is, listen, I think that is what it is for most of the people who are saying, yes, I'm over it. I'm over all this other stuff, whatever I was doing, whatever success I had. I am so committed to being in the space that God has called me for, that he's created me for. I just want to be there. I want to be in a space where I feel excitement about the work I get to do. Mm-hmm. I don't want this like survival. I'm making it. I'm doing okay. I want this joy. That's my thing. Yeah. I hear about this as believers, but my life was not that joyful. I'm like, mm-hmm. I mean, God's great joy, where's that? I love the quiet singing, praise God, but I don't see that in my life. You know what I'm saying? God's great joy. Where is this? It's not down in my soul because I was at work today and I looked in there and it wasn't no joy to be found. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember those days. And so when you get to a place, I think it takes a recognizing that there is better. Not just that you want more, but that there is more specifically for you. That's when the other thing just is, it's no longer enough. Now it's a burden. Now I don't care what it is. I'm going to get rid of it so that I can have this thing so I can walk and live in this place. I absolutely love that. And you talked about the investment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Can I just say in the mic for everybody, it's going to cost you something. And I also want to give you a little spoiler alert. Whatever you think it's going to cost, I want you to tally that up. I want you to calculate that in your mind. Time, resource, energy, money, whatever. Just calculate what you think is going to be and understand that you have grossly underestimated what it's going to cost you. It's a gross underestimation, baby, okay? It's going to cost you so much more than that, more than you think, right, in the beginning. It is so important for us to recognize that going in, because if you don't recognize that as you say yes, then you're not anchored. Mm-hmm. Your why doesn't have the weight, and that why needs to be weighty, because there are going to be storms that come, the winds are going to blow, things aren't going to work out the way you think they would, but the weight of that why will keep you on solid ground. It'll keep you from drifting and going back to where you were before and giving up. But you have to lean into that and really get connected to what that why is. Because once you get out there, I know you prepared for some stuff, but it's going to be some stuff you didn't even know it could happen. Like,
listen, yes.
That happened? I didn't even know. I never even imagined that could be a thing.
Yeah. And let me tell you, like, I'm telling you, once a week, I'm like, Lord, I don't know about this. And then, like you said, it's but then I can re-anchor mm-hmm. into my why. And that like keeps like, okay, Gabrielle, like, get it together. Think about why we started this in the first place, right? And I can get myself together. So yeah, it's about finding your why and having that strong enough why to why you're doing what you're doing. And I think too, you mentioned cost and how it's going to cost you to figure this thing out, not only figure it out, but also like walk in it, mm-hmm. but also think about how much it's costing you not to.
Yeah.
Like, that I guarantee you that that amount is much more.
Yes.
Much more physically, mentally, like all of the things too.
I remember at some point, this is when I was like dealing with depression it was the thing that drove the depression home. It's the thing that drives me now, but it was the thing that doubled down on the depression. It was like, I have so many more years left. And I used to think to myself, if this is what my life is going to be for the next 60, I can't do it. It's so much, it's just so much time. I'm like, I don't want to live like this. I could be 60 years. I could live to be 90. I'm like, oh my goodness, that would be horrible. That's what I used to think. Like, that would be so horrible if I live this way. Now I'm looking like, it doesn't matter how much time has passed.
Yeah.
If I think about how much time I might have and how great that time could be if I started now. If I said yes today. Because if I don't say yes today, it's going to cost me the next 5 years. So now I've given up 5 years and you don't stay at the same level of misery. Take it from somebody who knows. I'm trying to tell y'all, I did not get to a place where I was thinking about ending my own life. I didn't wake up like that overnight. It wasn't like a one thing.
Yes.
It was a slow burn. Okay. Mm. Over time, all these days. And we think that living a life unfulfilled and being in misery, like 10 years from now, I'm going to be in the same place. No, you won't. You will be worse, so much worse off. You also don't know what things are going to come. And I've had some experiences that have shaken me. They didn't drop me, though. I've been shook. There were experiences before it dropped me. Mm-hmm. Right. Living in your purpose creates this layer of resilience because I have more days living my best days and in collaboration with God. Truth be told, I was not in collaboration with God when I was clocking in and clocking out. Now, I needed him to do some stuff, and I called him in sometimes like, hey, sir, I need a raise. So I was wondering if you could do this for me, you know, and he made a way for me. But we were not day in and day out doing that work together. I didn't need to rely on him the way I need to rely on him now. I taught Spanish for 11 years, and I taught levels like 1 and 2. Child, I know exactly what we need to do today. This is what we're doing. I had notes and stuff from all those years. I did not need to rely on the Lord for no Spanish quiz. Mm. I didn't need to rely on him for a pop quiz. I understand that God, you know, God is in all things, right? He gave me the breath. Yes, yes, yes. I didn't need to call on him for no Spanish pop quiz or to do these grades, put these grades. I didn't need that. Mm. Over here, me and the Lord, just on the good side, we are tight. We are working together in and out on all these different things. So when the storms of life come that are unrelated to my work, we have been working so closely together in this purpose that he's still my first phone call now.
Yeah,
I'm very aware of his presence because I need him to do this purpose work. And I think that's something else that we miss when I'm not in my purpose. It doesn't require me to rely on God. I don't have to develop this relationship beyond Sunday service or reading my Bible. I don't need to depend on him. I don't need to hear his voice. I don't need to be able to be sensitive to when the Spirit is moving. I don't need all those things. I'm just doing this. I can do this on my own type of thing. But then when the storms of life come, I also don't have the relationship with him to get through it. It takes a greater toll on me. So the cost of not doing it, like you said, is absolutely greater than whatever it's going to cost me to get in it.
Yes, significantly greater. Yes, yes. Believe that.
The word of God says something, it is written. I love to say it that way. It is written somewhere in the good book. Okay? You can Google it. It is written somewhere in the good book. That whatever it is that you're going through now, this present circumstance is going to pale in comparison to the glory that will later be revealed. So it's like, yes, there are some difficulties that I have to go through as I do this purpose work. There's some investments, I'm so uncomfortable. I laugh when I'm uncomfortable, and I laugh all the time now. You know what I'm saying? I laugh all the time because the Lord will say something, and I've gotten to a place where I'm not going to buck the system. I know you said it, so I'm not going to pretend like I don't know where it came from. And it's also absolutely ridiculous. And then I remember, oh, yeah, but that's your style. And then I just chuckle, and I'm like,
at least you laugh because I cry.
I used to cry. Now I'm like, you know what? Because I would go back and forth with him. Like, so yeah. What about this? And you know what his favorite thing to say?
Because I said so.
No, when I tell him this is not fair, this is blah, 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 he'd be like, well, the cross not fair. And I'm like, if you're going to bring up the cross every time, why are we even talking? Like, what are we talking? I can never win if every single time, because I feel like now you let this back and forth go on for 10 minutes and then
you end it with that. You ain't got nothing.
I'm like, yeah, that's what we do every time. Okay, so you just gonna play that card. Okay, you're right, obviously. So let me do this. But then I just started thinking, like, okay, I can do this back and forth, but you already know he's gonna say the cross. And now I just laugh. I'm like, you know what? I'm not even gonna go back and forth with you like that, Lord. You told me to do this. I'm gonna do it. It's cool. You know, like, it's cool. We're just gonna do it because I've done that. I've done the back and forth every time. You do the back and forth and you cry, but guess what? Whatever he say, dude.
I get up and do it. That's it. I'm just like, but I still get up and do it.
So we doing that. That's
like, that's what we doing. All right.
I love that. This fear of failure, right, that you had to overcome to get to a place where you are, and even ongoing, it is a lifestyle. Courage is more than a name. I say we have to learn to embrace courage as a lifestyle, because when you say yes to this call life, it is always going to require for you to be doing something that is bananas. Every time, it's never going to be like, oh, you've arrived. You ain't arrived. Are you in heaven? Okay, you ain't arrived. It's going to be something else. And so I love that you say, yes, you have to overcome the fear of failure, but you have to deal with that even now, deal with that now. So how are you managing that or dealing with that or getting to a place where that fear of failure no longer stops you? How are you getting there?
Well, I think for me, it's it's almost like one of those, I think I heard someone say, like, just like barf and go. It's just... but it's pretty much what you said. It's like, okay, God, this is what we're doing. All right, I guess this is what we're doing. So we just do it. And I think I've just developed a relationship with being uncomfortable. That's just it. It's like I'm just getting more and more comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that's just it. I just think that's part of it.
It is. It absolutely is. I am getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. Yep. I'm getting comfortable with feeling like I got to throw up a little because I'm about to go and do something. Yep. I'm getting uncomfortable with whatever that feeling, because there's a feeling that rises up in you when you're about to do something and you can experience rejection, right? I slid into your DMs and asked you to be on the podcast, a podcast at the time that had no name, had no episodes, and you're a big deal out here in these streets. It's not like, oh, you've known me for so long, and so girl, whatever you need. I did not want to slide into your DMs.
We were already in the DMs anyway, though.
I know, but that was different. I'm like, this girl does not know me, and I don't want her to think this. And Laura was like, so we worried about what she gonna think. I was like, I was just kidding. I don't care what she thinks. I'm doing touch. I'm about to get here and DM her right now.
That part. Like, yeah.
Recognizing there's a level of commitment. You said two things, and I want to make sure they get it. You made a decision. You followed through. But that decision and that follow through is really based on not just your relationship with being uncomfortable, but your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of like a given thing. You're like, well, if he said it, I'm gonna do, like, okay, it might make me sick. I've decided I'm just gonna do it. But part of that, the foundation of that is your relationship with God.
1,000%. Oh yeah. I mean, because you know, when I was really like going through the fire of not knowing my purpose, that was my daily prayer. Like, Lord, listen, if you reveal it to me, when you reveal it to me, I'm going all in, period. And that's just it. So when I start feeling like, I remember, I'm like, no, this is what we're doing. This is what we were called to do. So we just gonna do it. And it's gonna be fine. Because you know what? What I love even more is being on the other side of that, right? Like the feeling of having done it, and you know, you put yourself out there regardless of the outcome. It's just like, oh my goodness, like I did that. Like that took everything out of me. That took another level of another version of me to do that. So I'm excited. Like I am addicted, I think, to that feeling on the other side of it too, where I'm just so proud of myself and so happy and just like, thank you, God, for, you know, for presenting me with that challenge and requiring that of me so that I could be this person, so that I could serve this person, so that I could, whatever it is he wanted me to do and wanted to get out of that situation.
That's such a mature level of celebration, right? We know to celebrate, even whether we do it or we don't do it. Everybody's okay with celebrating like accomplishments and achievements. I achieved this goal. I hit this target. But I think it takes a level of maturity and purpose and in this work to say, yes, I'm going to celebrate accomplishments. I'm going to celebrate obedience. I'm going to celebrate execution. I'm going to celebrate consistency. I don't care how many people enrolled or did whatever. The strategy was for me to do 30 lives, for me to do 3 emails, for me to pitch myself to 10 people, for me to record the podcast. I did that. And so I'm a new person. I have greater strength. I have greater confidence, a closer relationship with God, even if don't nobody listen to it. Even if nobody double taps it, me and the Lord out here doing something together, and I'm going to need this rhythm that we have together for wherever he's taking me. And I know he's taking me somewhere.
Yes.
It took some time for me to embrace this purpose that I have, even though I love the work of it. I just want it to be my main thing. I want to talk to people about Bible all the time, in the grocery store, getting a candy cane at a fair. I don't care. I want to talk about it with anybody that want to talk about it. Yes, let's do it. But I'm talking about what's my job going to be, though. Like, that's cool. I'm going to invite women to my house Wednesday night. Praise God. I made cookies, guys. And I also made some chili. Please come in. We're going to be looking at John tonight. I will open up my home on Wednesday night. Okay, sir?
Yes.
I'm talking about what I'm going to do for a living. For work. Because that's not a thing. I'm not doing that for work, obviously. So what am I going to do for work? So it took some time. And so I want to say that that purpose may not look like what you think it's going to look like, especially if you are a trailblazer.
Mm-hmm.
If your purpose is blazing a trail, is creating something that hasn't been done. And we believe the word of God, eyes haven't seen. That's like my favorite thing.
Yes.
Eyes haven't seen. Ears haven't heard. Right? Neither has it entered into the hearts of man. Okay. So you're trying to say it's nobody else out there that's done it. Well, duh. Because the Lord said eyes hadn't seen it.
That's right.
You're going to be the first to do it. Come on now, friends. Right? Like, but we can't imagine that we're going to be chosen to be a trailblazer. We can't imagine that our purpose is going to be a purpose that's going to be outside of our comfort zone. I've missed this. We didn't really touch on this, but I want to go back. God just brought it back to my mind. Do you know how much I just love that in order for you to walk in your purpose, you had to come out of the idea or the agreement or the season, the identity of being behind the scenes all the time.
Oh my goodness.
That is comical that that's how you were. Like, that is actually laughable. Because I see your face all the time. You know what I mean? I see your face all the time. And it's a great face. I see it all the time.
Thank you.
So when you were like, I'm just kind of behind the scenes, I'm not going to be doing it, and the thing that you do requires you to get out from behind that and have your face out there. People are always like, oh, well, I'm an introvert. Okay, cool. I love that for you. The Lord knew you were an introvert when he gave you that assignment. And you have this assignment that may require you to work outside of this thing. I don't want people to miss that.
Let me tell you, I think that was one reason why I questioned it. It's kind of like you. It's like, well, wait a minute, because you said that, like, there are gifts involved, right? Like, they should be things that I'm good at and that I'm comfortable with and all of that, right? Like, I'm not comfortable being talking on the cameras. I'm not good at being center of attention, speaking in front of people, like that's not something I'm good at. So Lord, I'm a little confused here. But honey, he wasn't letting up. He was just like, no, this is it. I'm pretty sure that this is what I have for you to do. So, and I really had to work on that. Like, I really had to work on my ability to get on camera, show my face in a still photo, much less talking on a video or jumping around dancing on camera or any of that, right? So it was definitely a process. And but I think the biggest thing is that, like, the foundation of it, again, anchoring in my purpose, like that's the thing that, like, kept me going. Like, I'm so committed to doing this and to being who God has called me to be that I'm figure it out. And then you do it so much that it becomes just one of those things where you just like, okay, that's just something I do. It's part of my job, right? Like, just like anything else. So
yeah, second nature. I hated doing video. I started out with the blog, which was not successful, but it got me to a place, right? But I didn't want to do video. I didn't want pictures up. I didn't want to go live. I hated that. I'm like, I don't want to be on nobody's camera. I don't want to do that. And now it's so second nature. People can't even imagine.
Yeah.
How much I hate it. Let me have a word. Okay.
Listen, with a do-rag on and everything. Yeah. Honey, listen, y'all finna get this bonnet.
Yes. Y'all about to get this bonnet blessing. Okay. Yeah. That's what y'all about to get. That's 100%. Yeah. I hope that y'all are hearing, one, that it's a process. It doesn't always look like you think. It's going to take some time. It's not this clean cut, easy, I'm gonna pull something out the box and it's just gonna work for me. And also that when it doesn't work for you, it's not a red flag. It doesn't mean that you don't have a calling, that God didn't send you, that you weren't created for something. It is all a part of the process. And I want, for whoever God brings this podcast to, I want to hear this truth being said over and over and over. We need a constant reminder for us to, one, get it. And two, we need a constant reminder because we're getting so many other messages. We're taking in so many other instant, I tried it one time and I was a millionaire messages, yeah, that we start to believe that those, which I'm not saying they're not true. Somebody did become an overnight success. Great. There are fewer of those that have become millionaires.
Yeah.
There were people who had a story, had something to overcome, and still ended up successful.
Yes.
There are more of us out here than the one time I hit this thing and I went viral off my first video. So now you didn't go viral off your first video. You think that's it. I'm so grateful that you came on to share your story. You had something to overcome to get to where you are.
Oh yeah. That.
Okay. This is my last question for you. And it's kind of the fill in the blank, right? So what, in your experience, is the key for courageously overcoming the fear of failure?
I'm Gabrielle of The Thought Trainer, and I believe the key to courageously overcoming the fear of failure is anchoring in your purpose.
I love it. These people are going to want so much more of you because I just love you so much. And now they love you and they want to know, where can they find you? How can they find you? Where do you play the most?
I play the most on Instagram at The Thought Trainer. That's my playground. I love Instagram.
Now, I'll give everybody an endorsement, but I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes I don't even want to tell y'all because then what if I can't get in? You know, I'm like, I know, I'm trying to be a caring person. Sometimes I'm like, no, I can't share where I get this done because then I won't be able to get an appointment. Sorry, you know, may the Lord help you.
You're gatekeeping. God don't want us to gatekeep.
I really pray for me. I ain't telling nobody. I just told my therapist.
You're so sweet.
Somebody looking for a therapist, not mine. The Lord gonna have to lead me to life. Cause she already saying, oh, well, you know, Miss Courage, we 2 weeks out. Oh no, I can't tell nobody else about you, girl. You doing fine without me endorsing.
I love it.
The Lord is breaking that spirit of gatekeeping off of me. So I'm gonna do the Lord's good work and tell y'all, you know. As much as it pains me to tell y'all this, this is, you know, Gabrielle, you are somebody everybody needs to be, even if they think they know what their purpose is, they need to get on a call with you. Mm. Whatever that is going to be, time investment, money investment, they need to get on a call with you. I have been doing this for a long time, and my call with you, they need to be sending you thank yous in the DMs, because after that first call I had with you where I got back to my original story, the thing that made me who I am, so many of the people who have been following me for years were in my DM, were emailing me, you're back. We're so, I'm like, now, that ain't some shade. We're so glad that you're back. And I've been doing this for a while. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I talked to you, because it helped me to get back to a place I had kind of abandoned, honestly. So even if you've been doing it for a while and you feel like you are so successful, you don't need it, child, you need it. I'm dropping her link. Make sure you get on her calendar, square away the time, sell cans. You can sell cans and plasma these days. Yeah. Do what you gotta do, friend. I got the plasma bank for you, okay? Do what you gotta do, friend, to get in this space, because when you work with somebody, when they work with somebody like you at your level, your caliber, just your gifting, it's an accelerant. Mm. Yes, you can get there on your own. Why take 7 years to do something that you can get done in maybe like 7 weeks? Or it's taken me 60 days, but maybe I could have gotten to this understanding in 60 minutes.
That's the thing that I believe. I believe it took me all that time to do it. And I believe that God had me go through it so that I can help other people get through it faster. Yeah. And so, yeah, yeah.
100%. Listen, you need to get on her calendar. You're welcome. You can send me thank yous in my DMs. Okay, guys?
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gabrielle, for saying yes. Y'all make sure y'all get at her, because she's amazing.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here. It's always a yes to you, Courage.
Okay, now y'all heard us say this. I'm going to keep this recording. Because it's going to be something else. She's going to be like, I did tell her yes. Here she goes. Yeah. Yes, I love that. All right, I love y'all, and we'll see y'all in the next episode.
All right.
Later.